One point to mention on this, though, because we you can't use the D word. You know, you can't say drugs at a meeting. That's not true. In our book, if you take a look at, our focus is alcoholism, no question about it. But if you look at Bill's story, he says here on page 6, he's running around a lot. Then came the night when the physical and mental torture was so hellish, I feared I would burst through my window, sash and all. I think the sash was on the window. But again, this is not a clarified point. He may have been wearing a costume that night, you know, with a hat with plumes, you know, and a sash. We should paint that sometimes and give it up. Somehow I managed to drag my mattress to a lower floor lest I suddenly leap. Now, I did that once, too. A doctor came with a heavy sedative. Thank God. Next day found me drinking both gin and sedative. This combination soon landed me on the rocks. it's nice how he talks. People feared for my sanity, so did I. I could eat little or nothing when drinking, and I was 40 pounds underweight. Sounds like a little amphetamine action to me. Now, he said the word and didn't get struck with lightning. You see? I think we can say the word. We don't run people out because of their experience. But our focus is alcoholism. Same thing happens with Dr. Bob. If you look at Dr. Bob's story, it says, the physician here, during the next few years, I developed two distinct phobias. One was the fear of not sleeping, and the other was the fear of running out of liquor. I never had that fear. I lived in a Jesuit community. And there is no way you can run out of liquor. It is there by the 100-gallon drum. It's just a miracle. I never feared running out of liquor in my life. Not being a man of means, I know that if I did not stay sober enough to earn money, I would run out of liquor. Most of the time, therefore, I did not take the morning drink, which I craved so badly, but instead would fill up on large doses of sedatives to quiet the jitters. Right there. During the subsequent 15 years, I had sense enough never to go to the hospital if I'd been drinking. But he pilled it for 15 years. You know, he's not a pure alcoholic. Our focus is alcoholism.
Back to the third tradition.
I'm still thinking this one through, by the way. I'm not, I write central office and ask Burl questions. But Burl, what does it mean? Our membership ought to include all who suffer from alcoholism. Hence, we may refuse none who wish to recover. This is a hard-fought-for tradition. Hard-fought-for. The first women coming into Alcoholics Anonymous did not have it easy. They were told, Al-Anon is down the street. And the good news is that women did not accept that. They fought their way to the tables. And see, with the men...
See, we didn't want them to join the fellowship because everybody knows what women are who drink. And we had to protect our reputations.
Isn't that wonderful? I love the way men think. And they just came and sat down anyway, you know. Another problem. Early AA was very Oxford movement, very white, male, middle-class Protestant. Suddenly all these Irish Catholics start showing up. Big problem for the Protestants and big problems for the Irish bishops who had to... They took them a long time to allow this to happen. But that's not the issue here tonight. The issue here tonight, and then you started getting Jews coming into the fellowship, and atheists and agnostics and Buddhists. We had Muslims and Buddhists at our meetings in Berkeley. In fact, one night, the majority of people at the meeting, it was not a big meeting, were not from Christianity as their basic source. And so why are we saying the Lord's Prayer?
Because we always have.
Oh, okay. Well, then. I don't think they do that in meetings in Saudi Arabia. You know, but what do I know? What else started happening? Well, you started having young people come into meetings. And they were told, come back when you're ready. And be very patronizing. People would say things like, I spilled more than you drank. And the only answer for that is, if you spilled less, you may have gotten here earlier. And the ageism is still there. You start at people who are too old. I mean, let them die. In my own community, this happened. There was one fellow who's in his 70s, and no one likes him. He's been a bad drunk for years. And we said, can we get him into treatment or do something? And they said, let him die, the son of a bitch. You know, he's going to die anyway. Who cares? Well, there are people in their 70s and 80s who get sober. You know, when the first lesbian and gay people started coming into meetings, this made some people, and still makes some people, very nervous. You know, well, if you get sober, you can't be gay anymore. You know that, don't you? One lady I knew, this was in one of the other states back there, and she was going to meetings, and she was told that they didn't want people of her kind at meetings, lesbian. And so she could, but they had to let her in because of the traditions. But would she please show up exactly at time and leave as soon as the meeting was over? You know, what I'm a man, a gay man, went to a place in Nevada somewhere, and he got there to get sober at a men's stag, was there for the third meeting, and they pulled him aside and said, we know why you're here. It'd be funny if it weren't true. They didn't want him back because they thought he was playing dating game. You know? And where do you go when you don't have 53 meetings to choose in the course of a day? You know? Non-English speaking persons breaking into meetings. Racial barriers get broken. Alcoholism is a great leveler. And anybody with any luck at all can be an alcoholic. And Alcoholics Anonymous is available to anybody who wants to get sober. And if anybody can be turned away from a meeting, I can be turned away from a meeting. Therefore, it must be very clear to me that anybody with a desire to stop drinking is welcome. Even if they're drunk that day.
Well, God, he's an alcoholic.
Well, yes, he is.
Came in and ruined our nice little meeting, you know? Threw up all over everybody. Best 12-step call ever made.
Nor ought AA membership ever depend upon money or conformity. That happens.
Our home group wears this T-shirt. We smoke this kind of cigarette. We think these kind of thoughts.
That happens. And it's important. Conformity is not a requirement for membership. Any two or three alcoholics gathered together for sobriety may call themselves an AA group, provided that as a group they have no other affiliation. That's wonderful. See, some people, well, shouldn't you have to get New York's approval to start a group?
No.
In Los Angeles, when I first went there, there were 1,000 meetings a week in Los Angeles County. As you know, most new meetings start out of resentments because the other group did it wrong, you see. And when you get to a place where there are 1,000 meetings a week, you can just make an approximation at the resentment level of the area. It's real high! And And it's wonderful because I'm all for resentments in the fellowship because they spread us out everywhere. That's why, like, you know, the smoking, non-smoking issue, another controversial issue, it's starting more new meetings in the United States today than any other issue that I know of. It's wonderful.
If you need a non-smoke, well, there's too much smoke in the room.
Start another meeting.
You know, or, damn it, they just go to the meeting smokeless.
Start another meeting. You know, go on. See ya. Here's a big book. Go. Good luck.
And you know. Oh, my.
It's about 9:25. Next week, when we connect, I'm going to focus on step two. Specifically, what are we talking about with this sanity business? If we're supposed to be restored to it, how do we know we're there once we're there? Because my biggest fear was that sane meant dull. You know? And, you know,
shall I be dull and boring and glum like some self-righteous people I see?
Well, it happens, but it doesn't have to happen. So taking a look at this sanity business, and then we'll do that for about 20 minutes to half an hour, and I'm then going to talk some about steps 4 and 5. And I'm full of opinions on those. But the basic rule of thumb is, and here's where we'll end tonight, with the 4th and 5th step, if it's worth doing, and it is, it's worth doing badly. A lot of us figure we can't do it until it's perfect! And then we wonder why we keep getting drunk. Well, we can do some things badly. It's progress, not perfection. See you next Thursday.